You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, August 30th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming and wrapping up your work week at RadioAlbion.com. August 30th. Can you believe we're almost out of August? This year's flying by. Time is flying by so fast. Must be all of the fun that we're... all of the fun that we're having. I'm doing something a little different. I don't have a particular news story, which is our normal format for the Daily Nationalist. Instead, I'm kind of going general topic. It's going to hit a lot of different things that I see in the news and just kind of a common theme tying a lot of these different things together. And that common theme is the fact that we don't believe them anymore. They keep saying the things they're saying. They keep spouting more and more ridiculous lies. And yet, we just don't believe them anymore. Now, who is we? What percentage of the population doesn't believe them? Well, it's impossible to know. You could take polls to find out, but we know the polls are all rigged. We know the polls lie. Kamala Harris couldn't garner 1% support just among Democrats in a primary, and all of a sudden we're told that she's neck and neck, and in fact, maybe leading Trump. But you see, we don't believe them anymore. We don't believe their polls. We don't believe their gaslighting. We have no way to know. I'm sure there's still quite a bit of the population that are morons, and that are morons and do believe. I'm not saying this is literally everyone. What percentage? I don't know. There's no way to know. They won't take an honest polling. It's kind of one of those things where they know we know. They probably have an idea of what percentage of the population doesn't believe them anymore. But they're not going to share that with anybody. They're not going to tell us. And I have to believe that even among a certain amount of people that go along with the charade, deep down in their hearts, deep down inside, they don't believe them anymore. They just haven't come around to accepting that. Where, of course, we're in election year, election season. You know, the BS is flying. It's an election year here in the U.S. And I see, of course, as we get closer to election day, we get more. But we're getting the election commercials, which are always have been and will always, I guess, be more and more absurd. But they make them anyway. And I think, who are they making these for? Here in Texas, they've been running these commercials for the Senate race. And the Democrats have an up-and-coming politician they like to run for these different offices as Colin Allred. And he's their up-and-coming guy. They're obviously grooming him for other positions. But, you know, because we live in a democracy and anybody can run for these offices, or at least that's what they tell us, but nobody actually believes that anymore. Why does this guy get picked, not just somebody else? As they run these commercials, they run this commercial for this for the Team D candidate, this Colin Allred, and they've been running commercials where, like, he's going to be tough on the border, and they've got him standing up here in front of all of these Border Patrol officers and different sheriff's deputies from South Texas talking about he wants to get tough on the border. We need a border bill. My opponent, Ted Cruz, he says we don't need a border bill. Ah, he really doesn't want to solve the border issue, but Team D candidate Allred totally wants to solve it. course, there's already laws against this, and everybody knows this. But you see, we need another bill. We need another law, another bill. If we just had that, then we could solve this problem. Nobody believes that anymore. They can stand in front as many badge-wearing props in the background as they want to. But nobody actually believes that Team D candidate Allred is going to do anything about the border. The border bill is not going to mean we're going to fix this problem. It's not a problem because we lack laws on the books. Good night. It's like we probably break a dozen laws a day and not even know it. There's so many laws on the books. Nobody believes them anymore. Likewise, Ted Cruz is running commercials. And there he is down on the border, once again, surrounded with badge-wearing props in the background, talking about he is going to solve the border. He's going to crack down. He's going to do it. Of course, he's been in there for years and years. What's he been waiting on? What's Ted Cruz been waiting on to solve it? It appears to even the most casual observer, all anyone in the Congress or Senate does is hold hearings, grandstand in front of the media, make hay out of an issue. I remember I used to always joke that, you know, when the Team R candidates talk about doing something about abortion, I used to say they would never actually do anything about abortion because it's a great issue to run on. You know, back in the day, back before the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, every year for decades on end from since the 70s, these Team R Republicans would run on, they're going to pass a bill to overturn Roe versus Wade. And it just magically never happened because it was a good thing to run on. It's kind of like how I chuckle when they talk about we're going to find a cure for cancer. Why would they do that? They make billions of dollars a year on the industry of treatments. If they simply cured it, they would be cutting off their own money supply. Ted Cruz sits up there and talks, he runs commercials about how he's just totally, he's wanting to fix the border issue. Again, he's been in there for years. What's he been waiting on? At the end of the day, we just don't believe either one of them anymore. Who is this targeted at? The lowest IQ, the lowest common denominator when it comes to intelligence in the population? I don't see who else it could be, because anybody with any observational skills or skills of observation, any amount of ability to think or reason, has no reason to believe them anymore. Kamala Harris, she finally did an interview. She finally did an interview. Of course, she went to CNN, you know, picked the most friendly format to do an interview. And she's talking about, she totally knows. Remember when Biden came out several years ago and said that he was putting her in charge of the border? Well, now she says she's come to realize it's a real problem and she's going to totally deal with it. But supposedly we were told she's been in charge of it all along. Of course, the softball interviewer at CNN didn't bring that up. And it doesn't matter because we don't believe them anymore anyway. Speaking of such things, Biden had to drop out of the race because he went to the debate with Trump and the fact that the media and the government had been gaslighting us for years and saying he was totally mentally fit as a fiddle. He's sharp as a tack. As clever as he's ever been. And then he shows up for the debate. And it turns out he was at the point that the meds weren't enough any longer. And it became clear that the so-called conspiracy theorists were right once again. And the guy's senile and has no idea where he's even at. And thus, they forced him out of the race. And yet, they haven't forced him out of office. We're still supposed to play along with the idea that he's making decisions. Like, that has not changed. You know, when it became obvious he's not been making any decisions, when he stood up on the debate stage and the moderators had to cut him off, not to be rude, but to keep him from embarrassing himself any further and displaying his own failing mental capacity. And yet he's still in office and things just keep rolling on. And we're told that if we elect one of these other people, something's going to change. When it stands to reason that actually the people who are currently making the decisions for the quote-unquote Biden administration will continue to make the decisions under a Harris or even a Trump administration. Why should we believe any of this anymore? Kamala says she suddenly realizes the border is a real issue and she's going to fix it. Amazingly enough, both candidates are promising ironclad support for Israel as they continue to slaughter Palestinians. They've been telling us that it's about Hamas and the hostages. Remember October 7th? Anybody who's objected to Israel's mass slaughter of Palestinians, the genociding of these people, have told, you say that, but what about Hamas? You know, that was the response. What about Hamas? Well, do you condemn the October 7th attacks? What about the 40 decapitated baby or whatever nonsense? Remember they floated that one out? The 40 decapitated babies put into an oven or whatever. And that one was so ridiculous, they themselves wind up having to drop that. A few people in the media once in a while don't get the memo and they'll bring that up because they didn't get the memo. We don't believe that anymore. They said, what about Hamas? You see, the narrative is we have to support Israel. They're defending themselves. They were the ones that were attacked by Hamas. And then I see on the news now, Israel has started their slaughter of the Palestinians in the West Bank. The media, of course, doesn't bother telling anybody that Hamas isn't in the West Bank. They have nothing to do with the West Bank. It almost seems like, once again, the conspiracy theorists that said they're just going to kill out all of these people so they can take their land and take their houses and take their stuff. Maybe it turns out they were right once again. Just like they said, Joe Biden wasn't making any actual decisions. Does there come a point where the media will again on this issue come around and agree that the conspiracy theorist people were right all along? Does it even matter? Sometimes I have ads on my computer that get around my ad blocker. And there's one particular site, these ads pop up, and they're these ridiculous propaganda ads for the Ukraine. And as one ad shows this white woman holding this little white baby like out of an incubator, and it says, Putin slaughters sick babies, or something like that. We're supposed to believe this. The same people who promote Putin is an evil warmonger slaughtering babies in the Ukraine, the same people across the board stand and applaud the U.S. ironclad support of Israel. Never mind these pictures of them literally slaughtering babies, children, men and women. All these people are being slaughtered, but we're not supposed to notice that. You're not supposed to notice the contradiction. Like I said at the beginning of the show, they know we know. And it doesn't matter. They know we know that we don't believe them anymore. They're just going to do it anyway. This all falls in line with what I've been talking about quite a bit here recently about this crisis of legitimacy that is going to continue to become more and more undeniable in these Western democracy countries. I saw in the UK, speaking of crisis of legitimacy, the Labour government now came out and said they're going to crack down on immigration. After doing raids, I saw this morning they've been doing like daylight raids, pre-dawn raids on people's houses. They went through hours and hours of video surveillance using facial recognition technology to round up these people who were protesting against this mass immigration and the violence which has ensued from it. They went through and put all these man hours so they could go in and do pre-dawn raids, SWAT raids, and round these people up. Meanwhile, in cities like London, they have no-go zones. They know not to go into those areas. We just don't believe them anymore. They come out and say, we're going to crack down on illegal immigration. I saw in Germany, they're making the same statements. They had another at their, of all things, they had a festival of diversity, and they got some diversity. Had a stabbing. Imagine that. And as a result, their government comes out and says, we're going to crack down on this illegal immigration. Whether it's in Europe, the UK, or here in the US, you'll notice whenever they talk about this, it's always illegal immigration. You see, only illegal people would come in and do a mass stabbing. Germany is the one in Europe who basically invited all these people to come. And now that they're here, now you have these inevitable problems. All the while they were telling everyone that diversity was our strength. Who's left that believes any of that? Why would you believe the same people who said we got to let everybody come in now says, well, we're going to let a little bit fewer of them come in? Why would you even believe them anymore? Speaking of ethnic cleansing, it's like there's ethnic cleansing going on. White people are being ethnically cleansed in the West with this mass immigration program that just so by pure coincidence is happening in all these countries. You know, I mean, a country like the U.S. is so big, it takes a lot. And little European countries or in Britain, it's a lot more obvious. It's a lot more recognizable. But it's still ethnically cleansing when you have a society that discourages white people from having any children while importing en masse people from third world countries. It's just another form of ethnic cleansing. We have all this ethnic cleansing. You know, the Palestinians are being ethnically cleansed. We're not supposed to notice that. And also, speaking of ethnic cleansing, the Ukrainians are being ethnically cleansed. It amazes me how many people, when that subject comes up, they fail to bring this point up. You know, it's who's going to be the good guys? Who's the bad guys? Is Putin the good guy? Is Zelensky the good guy? I want to know which team to cheer for. And yet, a glaring fact of the matter is, it's the Ukrainians who are being ethnically cleansed. They're not being ethnically cleansed by the Russians. They're being ethnically cleansed by NATO. They're grabbing men off the street. I saw a story the other day where they're authorizing the draft people who are running these press gangs. They're just grabbing men off the street so they can throw them into the meat grinder. They've authorized them to use deadly force now. I remember the old stories from the Soviet Union in World War II. You know, they had a low morale problem. People didn't want to fight for the Bolshevik regime in Moscow. So they set up entire units that would be behind the front lines. And anybody who retreated or attempted to surrender, they shot them in the back. There's one way to motivate your forces. They're press ganging Ukrainians to go and be slaughtered. NATO is literally ethnically cleansing the Ukraine. And yet, not a mention. It's Putin who's the evil bad guy when it is NATO who is ethnically cleansing the Ukraine. Why? And to what end? Of course, we know they twist and turn language, meanings of words. Kiev is no longer Kiev. It's Kyiv. It's always been Kyiv. Vladimir Zelensky is no longer Vladimir. That name sounds too Russian. He's Volodymyr or something. I don't even know how to pronounce. And that might change. That spelling changes all the time. You see, it's not Vladimir Zelensky in Kiev. It's Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. See, it's a whole different thing. You see, it's a whole different area. It's a whole different country. And they're going to win any day, by the way. Why, heck, they're taking Russian territory by leaps and bounds. Why, they'll be marching on Moscow at any minute. We know they're not going to win. Nobody believes that anymore. What will happen eventually, more than likely, I should say, is at some point in time when Russia is done taking the territory that they decided early on they were going to take, the same people The same people who always make it a point, and you notice these little things that they try to plant this subliminal stuff. When you really get it, where you start really watching for it and you pick it up. Every media report will always call it Russia or Putin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Pay attention for that. They will always say his full-scale invasion of the Ukraine. That's supposed to slip into your subconscious. You're supposed to take that in. It's a full-scale invasion. Well, it's not a full-scale invasion. I mean, by any objective standard, it obviously is not. But they say it anyway. When the Ukraine inevitably loses and Russia takes the territory that they say they were going to take, these same people will stand and say Kiev actually won. Ukraine actually won because, look, Putin didn't manage to take Kiev. He didn't manage to take all of Ukraine. That means Ukraine won. These same people will sit here and say that Putin, once Ukraine falls, Putin's going to be rolling tanks all the way to Berlin. He's going to be out there personally building the Berlin Wall back. It's the return of the Soviet Union. It's going to roll through Poland. It's going to roll through these make-believe countries like Latvia and Lithuania. But just watch out. They do say, I saw they were building a base in one of the make-believe Baltic countries. And they were bragging, this is to thwart any ideas that Putin may have. And like, oh, how many NATO soldiers are going to be there? Like 14,000. This is like, that's nothing. You know, if you were serious, you roll through 14,000 guys pretty quick. They ain't going to stop nobody. They ain't going to slow anybody down. They even know it's bullshit. And yet, we're supposed to believe it, but we don't. Nobody really believes this anymore. When Putin takes the territory, when Russia takes the territory they said they were going to take, when Ukraine eventually loses, they'll point and say, see, he's not in Poland. He isn't rolling, he's not building the Berlin Wall back. That means NATO won. They create a false narrative, and when that narrative doesn't come true, they claim it means they won. You see, you're supposed to believe this. But I find it hard to believe that anybody believes it anymore. It's a hard thing when you understand that literally everything in your society is manufactured. Everything that you see is manufactured. None of it's real. Pretty soon, you just can't believe any of it, you know? Suddenly, we're supposed to, all of these people, when you see celebrities and people who presented to you, and they give you this narrative, understand all of these people, they're manufactured. Whether, even in mundane things that you don't care about, you know, Taylor Swift is so popular, and she's been around for a long time now. But now all of a sudden she's just so popular. Why, her fans even have a special name. They're Swifties. And I'm sure this name was just organically came from the bottom. Where nobody even knows where it came from. It's totally not all just marketing. It's manufactured. She's just so popular because she's so talented. As long as she can sing through the auto-tune, through the computer box that makes it sound like she can carry a tune. I've heard years ago, before they manufactured this surge in her popularity, I actually heard her one time. I didn't go to a concert. I heard her one time, though. And they didn't have the auto-tune turned on. It was funny. I remember it to this day because it's reminiscent of the meme of the popular girl that goes to karaoke and everybody finds out she can't carry a tune. She's completely tone-deaf. And it struck me, wow, what a person that has no talent. And yet now, she's surged to popularity. I saw where her boyfriend and his brother, that football player and his brother, they just signed a multi-million-dollar podcast contract. Because everybody's interested on what this guy and his brother have to say. Well, why, my gosh, can you imagine what breathtaking, important insights these two guys have to say? They just got picked at random for a multi-million-dollar podcast contract. It's all manufactured. We don't believe it anymore. Nobody believes that they earned multi-million dollar podcasting contract because everybody's dying to listen to what they have to say. What exactly would they have to talk about? All of these people, all of their fame, all of their importance. It's all manufactured. It's all fake. It's all phony. And you know what? We don't believe it anymore. because of this, you have this ever-growing crisis of legitimacy. They come up with more and more extreme narratives. Like they're just trying to force people to believe it, you know? Like when a liar gets called out, they'll come up with more and more hysterical lies and hand-waving to keep you from pointing out that they're not believable, that you don't believe them anymore. Well, it's not what you think. It's not what you say. No, 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 no. You've got it all wrong. Many people, you've encountered people in your personal lives that are like that. They're habitual liars, and you catch them out on their lies. And they will hand wave and hysterical and come up with even more outlandish lies to try to convince you that they are the victim. And then they have a hard time accepting the fact that you don't believe them anymore. They seem to be at a loss or a failure, and maybe they are in denial over the fact that media manipulation and whatnot has its limits. You know, there's certain limits. They've been trumping up the mpox, formerly known, the artist formerly known as the monkeypox, has now been remarketed. They're Swifties now. No, I'm sorry. They're mpox now. It would be like if you had a, a band, you know, because bands have these crazy names, you know. You had a rock band called the Monkeypox. That'd be a good rock band name, and the Monkeypox. And their fans are the mpox. Monkeypox has now been remarketed as mpox. And you see the World Health Organization, all the rest of them trying to whip up some hysteria. But unfortunately, they had the whole COVID thing a few years ago that so many people went along with. And now in hindsight, it turns out once again, the conspiracy people at that time, those of us who said, yeah, I'm not wearing a mask, those of us who said it's all bullshit, time has borne them out. And now they want to whip up a new one. The problem is they fizzle out because they do their own studies and it says nobody believes it anymore. And whip up a new virus, going to whip up a new pandemic. But the problem is nobody believes him anymore. I was driving the other day. I went past the CVS pharmacy and had up on their sign said free COVID vaccines and flu shots. You get the free vaccine. Remember when they first came out with the vax and they tried to hype this fake scarcity? You know, they're like, people are lining up. They're having to crack down because people are lying, trying to get access to the vaccine to get safe from the deadly doom virus. Well, here I go by this sign. Free. Go in, get your booster, your 58th booster, or whatever the hell it is now. There was no line stretching out. It's free. People love free, right? There was no line stretching out of the pharmacy of people wearing their masks, dying to get the COVID vaccine. Because people don't believe them anymore. At the time, a certain amount of people did buy into it back then, and they jumped up and believed them. They said, we're going to stop this madness. If we all just go take the vaccine, you got to go get the vaccine, and it'll stop the spread, and we can all go back to normal. Remember when they told everybody that the ones that aren't taking the vaccine are the ones that are preventing you from going about your life in a normal manner. They're the bad guys. And yet, all that is hindsight now. And there's no line for the free booster shots because nobody believes them anymore. All this is reflective, again, of a crisis of legitimacy, and it can't go on. It goes on for a while. It becomes more and more apparent that those who rule over us in these nations don't rule by anyone's consent. More and more it becomes obvious and undeniable that they rule by threats. By violence, the very things they project onto other nations. They rule by threats and violence. People don't come out and say, most people don't come out and speak against it because they're afraid. They don't want to be picked out. You know? If you went up to a normie friend of yours and says, hey, I listen to podcasts on this Radio Albion Network, and that person looks up and reads all of the EO, that's an evil hate site, and they won't even listen to our content. Because that might put me on a list. Well, I could become a target. Not because they're worried, they're curious, they want to hear the truth. They're afraid. Illegitimate regimes have to rule by ever-increasing threats and violence. But that's not sustainable. There always winds up being a consequence. I was thinking about, I mentioned earlier, Israel just openly genociding the Palestinians. Now, you may not care about the Palestinians per se, but it's the truth that they are doing this. And I was laying in bed last night trying to go to sleep. My mind wouldn't shut off. I have this problem on a regular basis. And I was thinking about Israel blatantly genociding these people. Now that they're doing it in the West Bank, they don't even have the fig leaf of it's about Hamas and the hostages. It's about October 7th. The West Bank Palestinians didn't do anything on October 7th. But now they're bombing them, taking their stuff, giving it to the quote-unquote settlers. And I was thinking about Israel blatantly. They're bombing food convoys. The UN gets bombed and shot up by the Israelis. And they don't even care. You know, they'll come out with some, oh, well, we were protecting the food convoy. That's why we bombed everybody and killed them. We thought they were being attacked, so we killed them all. Israel's a great example of they don't even care that you don't believe them anymore. They're just doing it anyway. But I was thinking about Israel just doing this open genocide, and it's a risky play. I understand, they understand that the U.S. empire is in steep decline, and if they're going to use the empire to expand their crime base in the Middle East, they need to do it now, because every year that goes by, the empire is less able to do that. And they want to drag the U.S. empire in to make war against Iran, to make war against Hezbollah, to expand their territory, to wring the U.S. out of the last drop of blood that they can to accomplish their own selfish goals. And I understand that, but I was thinking, I was laying there contemplating what a risky play that really is. It really is to just openly do a genocide. This is a risky play. Because there's no guarantee to success. And what I mean by that is the U.S. empire capable now of doing these things? I think there's quite a bit of evidence that they are not. That they're not nearly as capable as what they want people to believe. And more people don't believe that anymore. The Israelis they're making a hard gamble. Yeah, this is... When you see these things for what they are, this is a really, really bold, I would argue, foolish gamble. Because, I mean, it's one of those things. Big gambles are high risk, high reward. That's what makes it a big gamble. High risk, high reward. If it works, you get a big payoff. They're going to vastly expand their territory. They will have genocided, and the ones that don't get killed or expelled, they'll be done with the Palestinians. Expand their land, thus expanding their power, but with high reward on the flip side, that it's high risk. When you're doing an open genocide like they're doing, if it blows up in your face, if that pendulum swings the other direction, no appeals to your own alleged genocide from 80 years ago are going to hold any water. The gas has pretty much already run out of the Holocaust tank. So what are you going to appeal to then? If it blows up in your face and the American empire is no longer able to serve your interests, and all of a sudden everybody realizes this, and all of a sudden everybody starts wanting to exact a price out of Israel, and they start falling apart without American money, without Western support, the whole thing falls apart very quickly. The whole society, the whole country falls apart very quickly. If that happens, and if things go really south, pointing at the Holocaust and saying, oh, this is unfair, when people have spent years watching you literally genocide a people, that's a big gamble. Because I don't think you're going to garner a whole lot of sympathy here. I mean, it is a hell of a gamble on what is increasingly looking like a weaker and weaker hand. when you yourself decide to put genocide on the table. Now, make no mistake, the Israeli government has put genocide on the table because they're genociding the Palestinians. I mean, there's no argument. You can't claim otherwise. Not honestly. Anybody who claims otherwise is being 100% disingenuous. It's there. I mean, it's undeniable what they're doing. They're, like I said earlier, they don't even care that it's obvious. They've pushed all in. They have literally pushed their chips all in. But when you make a play toward now, you've put you yourself, the Israeli government, has put genocide on the table. It wasn't on the table before. They were able to play this coy game about maybe someday we might do a two-state solution and we have these sporadic armed conflicts with these groups, but everybody kind of stays in their own lane and we do this ever so often. You know, their tactic up to this point was every couple of years, every year and a half, 2 years, they would go in and cull the population. They would claim they're being threatened by some bottle rockets, and they'd go in and cull the population. We know they've even kept track of how many average calories a Palestinian gets allowed, and they'll go in and cull them like livestock, like varmints or something. But see, they've gone in further now. Now they themselves have introduced genocide to the table. That wasn't in the table before. That wasn't on the table, rather, before. Genocide was not on the table. You had all of this other stuff, all these conflicts, all this was in the mix, but genocide was not in the mix. Now genocide has been introduced into the mix, and they themselves have introduced it, and once you've put it in there, you can't take it out. If the bet, it's high risk, high reward. If the bet pays off, you get rid of the Palestinians, you expand your territory before the U.S. empire completely implodes on itself, and then you can regroup and hold what you've got. But if it blows up in your face, you've introduced genocide into the equation. And if things go really south, and you find yourselves on the receiving end of it when you've been used to dishing it out, you're not going to be able to appeal to morality. You're not going to be able to appeal and say, this isn't fair. You're genociding us. What do you mean you're running us out of this country? What do you mean now nobody else in the world wants us in their country? What do you mean we've made ourselves a global pariah? This isn't fair. You're going to be able to point to the Holocaust 80 years ago. Nobody cares anymore. You're not going to be able to do that because you yourselves have introduced genocide now into it. It's a risky gambit. Obviously, they've decided to do it. It's too late now. The cat's out of the bag. Which way will it go? Because if it goes south for the Israelis, there's going to be nowhere to hide. They themselves have justified genocide against the Palestinians. So if the bet fails, if the bluff gets called, if the hand is weaker than what they think it is, and everything goes south, there's nowhere to appeal to. When you bring genocide, when you bring literally killing en masse an entire people to get rid of them, when you do that, you don't get to take it back if it doesn't work out in your favor. You see what I'm saying? It's a very risky gamble, especially when you consider it's a very small population. There's not many of these people even in the world. You're vastly outnumbered, and it is a crazy thing to think about when you think globally speaking, population-wise, you as a people are a tiny, tiny, tiny minority. You know, it's not reasonable thinking to then introduce genocide into the equation, because generally genocide is always played out against a very minority population. You genocide the majority, it's a tough thing to do. They're working on that in white countries. We talked about that. They're ethnically cleansing, you know, attempting to ethnic cleanse white countries. But generally those things happen to very small minorities. When you're a very small minority of the world population and you yourselves decide to set genocide, to push your bet in and push genocide onto the table, That's a very, very sketchy, very risky bet to make. It's a very, very questionable call. Just from a practical standpoint. And when you're having to rely on, oh, well, we're just defending ourselves. We're genociding these people because we're defending ourselves. And you're relying on your media control and you're bought and paid for Western governments. You can play that along for a while. But what happens when we don't believe you anymore, when nobody believes you anymore? We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great weekend. If you haven't had a chance, check out all our great content we've had up this week on Radio Albion. All good stuff. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I plan to be back here Monday for the Monday installment of the Daily Nationalist. So as always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.